This is WHFR, Dearborn.
Disclaimer: this show is a WHFR talk show presentation. The opinions expressed by WHFR staff and our guests are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College, not faculty, staff, administrators, anyone on our Board of Trustees, or students.
Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
You're tuned to WHFR Dearborn. The opinions expressed in the show are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College, its staff, personnel, or students. This is a pre-recorded program. Hi, welcome. I'm Margaret King Ahmed, your host of Parent Connection, and every fourth Monday of every month you can hear this program from 6 to 7, and I'm hoping that you'll tune in. Today's show is going to feature Annette Frank. She is an artist and an art teacher over at McCullough Eunice in Dearborn, and I'm going to give her some time to talk about herself, to kind of give me some background and the listeners some background about who she is. And the reason I brought her on today is because the program today is going to focus on how parents can encourage their children at home to be engaged in art. And Annette, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. And so can we just give the listeners just a little bit of background about how you actually got involved in art? I wanted to know, particularly, did your parents have anything to do with it? Did they promote it? Did they encourage it? Did they embrace it for you? And then just some of the things that you do now because of your art.
Okay, sure. I think parents can have an amazing effect on their kids and their interest in art. And mine did, both directly and sort of indirectly. My mother painted. And when I say she painted everything. The refrigerator, the tables, the walls. We had a pink refrigerator with black spots on it when I was a kid. So she always had a sort of quirky, creative approach to everything.
Okay.
And absolutely encouraged, you know, and allowed us to do it. And I love to use that word allow, okay. And in the best possible way. My grandfather was a superb artist. He could draw so beautifully, and yet never really did it very much. I just know this because of the drawings that I saw of his, that he did when he was a young man. My mother's sister was an artist as well, so there was a lot of, you know, talent at drawing and painting on that side of the family. Now, my father was what I call a maker. He was literally a tool and die maker.
Okay.
But he could make anything. He could make a cabinet. He could refinish things. He could build, and he understood how things worked. And it fascinated me. And I think of myself as a maker as well.
Okay.
You know, it's like most things don't intimidate me. I feel like I can pick something up and figure out how to do it, you know.
Okay.
Partly because I had the opportunity to watch. He wasn't a real warm kind of guy. He wasn't inviting me into it, but I watched everything real carefully.
Okay.
But we always had the stuff that we needed when we were kids. We didn't have a lot of things. We didn't have a lot of toys. It was pretty, you know, bare bones.
Okay.
But we always had bikes, and we always had art supplies.
Wow.
And you know...
About the bikes.
About the bikes.
And the art.
Right. And they're the two things that absolutely inform my life now.
Yeah. They seem to resonate with you.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So here's the thing, because, you know, as a parent educator, I see lots of parents, and I do parent talk program in the Dearborn District. And lots of times, comments from parents are more about not that the kids are scribbling or coloring everything or painting everything. It's that they're watching too much TV. They're playing Xbox for too many hours. And so, you know, I give them the parent talk around all that. If you choose this, you're choosing that. And so that we can empower them to make other choices. But, again, I believe it is parents that teach teach behaviors, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. So as your mother did, right, she really planted the seed for you and your grandfather and your father, and the aunt, right?
Right.
Tell me, like, one of your first creations, of what age do you remember being when, you know, you created something, you just were, like, in awe of what you created?
Well, one of the things that I always remember making was being outside, and we got tossed outside real early in the day. My dad worked the night shift. He didn't sleep easily. So we got tossed out in the morning. So we were always making forts.
Oh, yes.
And one of our favorite, now this is going to sound crazy, one of my favorite toys, if you want to call it that, and I want to talk about toys in a minute too,
yes,
because I love
please.
The, because you're talking about Xbox,
yeah,
was a box of old electrical things, switches and
wires
plugs
and
wires and things
like that.
So my brother and I used to set them up and make control panels for whatever it is we thought we were going to fly away with.
Use your imagination.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
And one of the funny things I also remember was that I would watch my dad do electrical work, and he always said, never touch two wires together. And I thought, oh, that, he says, it'll kill you. I thought, but we play with
warning.
The stuff in this box all the time. Uh-huh. So I went out in the backyard far away, had a couple of wires, and I sat down, and I held the wires in my hand, and I'm daring myself, should I touch them or is this going to kill me? Do I believe the old man? Is this going to kill me? So I finally did. I touched the wires together. But of course, since they weren't connected to anything, I lived to tell the story.
Right.
But, you know, being pushed out like that, and, you know, when I was a kid, there really wasn't a lot of TV anyway.
Right. That was the norm, sort of.
That was the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, you'd go out in the morning and you'd figure out things and you'd play all day, and all you had to do was be in when the streetlights came on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think kids now, unfortunately, they are given so many literal toys that they don't have the chance to figure things out on their own, make their own kinds of toys. You know, the story you always hear about, well, I bought them this, you know, but then all they wanted to do was play with the box. Okay.
Right.
Well, take the point. Okay,
yeah.
Give them some boxes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because I think that when you start at home planting that seed for art, because as you taught me, actually, and other art teachers in the district, everything is art.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is art. Nothing can happen without art. If you get an idea, it has to be drawn or written down, and then a picture is created from the writing, and then the color is added or the dimensions are added. So I'm thinking to myself, like, what would you do with someone that was maybe even preschool age? What kind of tools would you think would be really kind of beneficial for someone that young?
Okay. First, you know, the obvious things of whatever simple drawing materials are good. And don't give little ones pencils. Give them, you know, some stubby crayons and some paper. Plenty of paper. You know, the things that we throw out all the time. Let them write on the back of things. Let them write on, okay, you get this solicitation in the mail. Fill out this. Let them scribble on that. You know, they will love that. When they get a little bit older and they can handle markers are wonderful because the line is easy to do.
And washable. They have so many great products today.
There's so many good kinds. And you do want the washable because you want to be able to wash it off their hands. Never, never give kids permanent markers.
Right, okay.
It's slightly toxic. But, the washable ones are great. And one thing that I really advise against, don't ever give kids markers with scent or smells. You know, you might think that's cute. Oh, cherry smell to go along with the red marker.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. You're putting a food connection there, and little kids who are still sorting out what to put in their mouth and what not.
Oral fixation stage, yeah.
Bad idea.
Right,
stay
okay.
away from markers that have fruity scents and things
okay.
like that.
Excellent.
Because the markers that the kids use have no, bad smell to cover up anyway, so there's no point.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Very good. I know crayons now, the Crayola, has mm-hmm. really, that industry has really boomed because of the products they make now are less toxic or non-toxic. Like you said, the stubby crayons,
yeah.
the ones that are a little fatter around,
yeah.
easier to hold.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that. Now, what about, this is kind of leaning more towards the music end, but would you allow them to have the pots and the pans and the plastic containers? And would any of that lead to sculpturing or building or, that part of the art world?
Yeah. Well, the exploration with sound
okay.
in and of itself is cool,
you know.
But just that, stacking and figuring out how physical objects fit with each other. How many piles, can I put this in a pile? Can I add that to that? What's going to happen if I do this? All of those spatial, manipulations that kids do, figuring out how things fit into each other. If you give a kid a couple of cups and some water and let them, pour it from here to there, they'll be delighted. And it's such a simple, easy thing to do. You're cooking over here, give them some stuff to pour back and forth. Give them, it's wonderful.
So where would you set them up on, like, some kind of a plastic piece of paper or plastic or something, so if they spill stuff, it's not all over? Or it doesn't matter. If it's just a little bit of water,
right.
It's not going to be that big of a deal, right?
And do it outside.
Oh, yeah, and do it outside, of course.
Not on a day like today where it's 5 degrees. But,
right.
A lot of those things can be done outside, and then simple things that they can do inside.
Or even in the tub. When
Absolutely.
They're in the tub, for sure, they can play with those kind of toys in
yep.
the tub.
Yep.
All right, that's excellent. So tell me a little bit about what's happening in the schools with art. I know we've had a lot of budget cuts, and how are you affected by that? How is it affecting what you do in the school with your students? So can you address that maybe a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as you mentioned, I'm a teacher here in Dearborn Public Schools. I've been here for about 18 years. And in that time, I've seen a lot of changes, and as you say, most of them have not necessarily been good, and because of the budget situation. Dearborn does have a wonderful art department, and when I say department, that's what it really is, and it's cool because all of the art teachers at all of the schools throughout the district, 38 schools, we get together and talk to each other. Teachers in other districts think that's amazing. That we actually get to, interact with each other.
So you collaborate?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And, the thing is that if I come up with a cool project over at my school and somebody at a different middle school says, that's cool, it doesn't hurt me or negate anything for them to do it over at their school. It's cool.
Okay.
We love to share.
Yeah, and then you can share successes with each other and how it worked out for you to do this.
Yes.
And then you can tweak it at your end and they can tweak it at their end.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So in Dearborn Public Schools now, all kids up to grade 5 get art once a week for the lower L, twice a week for the upper L.
Okay.
Wonderful. They go to a certified art teacher. And that's a key thing. It's got to be a real art teacher.
All right. Is it an hour? Different
amounts of time.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think right
40
now.
Minutes
40
or
minutes is what it is.
Okay.
Lower L goes once, upper L goes twice.
Okay.
Okay. Then in middle school is kind of the last time that kids are really compelled to take art. At my middle school, I see all of the sixth graders, at some point during the year. And it's a 55-minute long exploratory course. 55 minutes, and they come every day for a quarter of the year. So that's kind of cool. You get a long stretch of time like that.
Yeah, you can really create projects that will
right.
be benefited from that amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good extensive period of time. The whole idea in sixth grade is that you want the kids to explore a lot of different things. So they're supposed to. Now, in the olden days, and I'm talking like 5-6 years ago, okay, all of the sixth graders got to have a chance to try life management, tech ed, computers, a little snatch of foreign language, and then vocal and performing arts, and then, you know, the visual arts.
Okay.
They had six different, things, and they rotated through all of those things.
And that would be throughout the year?
Yep.
Wow.
Throughout the whole year. They would end up with a little bit of time in all of those.
Yeah.
And the idea was that now when they go to seventh grade, they will get to choose one of those things and take it for a whole semester.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so in seventh and eighth grade, art and all of those things are pure electives. They choose them.
Okay.
Now, what happened a few years ago with the budget cuts, we've lost a lot of those elective classes.
Whoa, okay.
There are two of the seven middle schools in Dearborn that currently have no art. They have no visual art program.
Do they get a double dose of something else? Isn't there a hole in the schedule if they don't have it?
Right, and what they usually are getting a double dose of is
PE?
An intervention class.
Oh, intervention class. Oh, okay.
Of some sort.
Okay.
Because the kids, especially, English language learners, they decided that they need a double dip into language skills.
Mm-hmm.
And then kids that are not up to grade level with their reading get a double dose of some language, or it could be a math or something like that. So the interventions are taking a lot of that time. Gym used to be a full year requirement in middle school.
Yeah.
That was above what the state mandated. According to the state, you only had to do one semester. So now, because kids have all these other things that they have to do, we've gone back to that. You only have to take one semester of gym in middle school.
Okay.
And the problem with that is that usually, you've got gym first semester, so you're running around every day, and you have no gym second semester, so you're sitting still.
Oh, right.
You know?
Right.
It's a shame. I wish it could be set up so that the kids would alternate every other day to sort of reinforce the idea that you want physical activity to be part of their regular routine all the time.
Right. Well, that physical activity also creates ideas, and that's what you want. And then when you have the art kind of, intermittent, like you're saying, do the PE, do the art, do the PE, then there's a real connect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you think about it, art is one of the few classes where you're always using open-ended problems. If I say, I want you to make a fantasy creature out of clay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are 30 answers to that in any class of 30 kids. Nobody's going to have exactly the same thing.
Right.
And I emphasize that to the kids. I say, when you go to math, how many answers are there to what is 3 times 6?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's only one answer.
Right.
So it's convergent thinking. They're all pushing toward one answer, whereas the kind of questioning that I'm doing leads to many divergent thinking.
Beautiful.
And that's the kind of thinking that allowed Steve Jobs to invent all the wonderful things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just one answer. There's many possibilities. What if, what if, what if?
Right, right. Well, that is beautiful. Yeah, I'm hoping that in the long run that we'll get back to maybe having more money, first of all, in the budget, but to have people really start to invest in the arts again. I know the schools do a, at the Civic Center, you have a display, you do a citywide art display, and I want you to talk about that, and I also want to hear a little bit about the Empty Bowls fundraiser that you do,
mm-hmm.
and how that all comes about. So you can take whichever one you want.
Okay, we'll do citywide art show.
Okay, let's do that.
I think, I don't know how many years they've been doing it, but, many, many years they've been doing this annual event. We've been doing it at the Civic Center now for a while. And each teacher at every school gets to pick a number of pieces to put into the show. So there are several hundred examples of the best things that the kids are doing. It's a huge honor to the kids. It is one of the most beautifully mounted shows.
I would agree. I've been there.
Beautiful?
Yes, and the mediums can be a little bit different. They're not all paintings or pictures or photos or things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea. We want the public to see the full range of things that we're doing with our kids in our classes. Okay, so you'll see two-dimensional work, like you say, painting, drawing, photography, and you'll see three-dimensional work, puppets and pieces made out of clay and paper mache,
everything.
The kids will come and demonstrate, you know, how to do things, especially the kids from, and it's wonderful because that's very, it's cool for them.
It's very rewarding, I think, and they really do start to really value what they do based on the comments and remarks and the oohs and the ahs that they get from the participants or the audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting how one really positive experience early on can set someone on a life path.
Ah, yes.
You know? So some kid that does a wonderful piece of art and gets some, you know, recognition for it and some positive feedback from teachers and adults and things like that, they might think to themselves, well, yeah, I really can do this. Maybe this is what I could do for my profession.
Right.
So
maybe this is my calling, this purpose in life.
Yeah. And some kids tell me that they know already that they're going to be artists, and I just love it.
Like, give me an age of someone that might have said that to you. I mean, would someone know that at an age like in second grade or third grade, or would that come later in middle school?
I had a four-year-old tell me one time, not that he wanted to be an artist, but that he already was an artist.
Whoa. So
he was
an artist. Okay. He's obviously getting some encouragement at home.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
support.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things in education is the belief that kids are inherently creative.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of what we're doing in schools is sort of, you know, I hate
very
to say
rigid.
Beating it out of them,
but
you know, it's like we're smoothing out the edges, and they're not as creative, you know, because we're wanting them to bubble in the right answer, and we want them to come up with the correct.
Very, very scripted
and
structured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So kids really do, you know, sometimes know as early on as that, and their abilities, adeptness, and interest, and their creative approach is always evident even in elementary school.
Okay.
Now, middle school is really a crucial time for art.
Okay. How and so?
Because this is the time when nobody wants to be different. They don't, and they start sorting themselves out. Oh, she can draw, and he can draw, but I can't draw, and this is lousy.
Mm.
And then they don't want their work that they consider not as up to those standards,
right.
Then they start saying, I can't do that. I'm not going to do
they
it.
Shut down.
And they shut down and they don't do it.
Right.
Most people, that's when their art skills stop, is middle school. Mm. Once they decide, I'm not cut out for this. Right.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I teach a class here at Henry Ford Community College on Saturdays, and it's art for the elementary classroom teacher. So these are people who, you know, from all kinds of realms and who just think that they would like to be a teacher at some point. Well, when they come in, I give them tasks that I would give to elementary kids to do.
Okay.
And some of these adults draw just like third graders.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's like in my parenting class. I mean, they don't all have the skills for writing. They don't all have the skills for reading. So we can't assume anything, you know. And what is, and then you work with what is, you know.
Yeah.
And you move people forward. Yeah,
yes.
Little baby steps.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we try and do, most of the art teachers would probably say this as well, I want the art experience in middle school to be positive for everybody.
Yeah.
So I design lessons that everybody can do.
Do, okay.
Okay. They have an objective based on our curriculum. And a lot of times people think, oh, well, you know, you're an artist and you like to do that. But I have a curriculum. I have a number of things that I'm supposed to be teaching these
kids. Yeah, you're held accountable.
Yeah, just like anybody else.
Yeah.
And so I want them to learn these things. Everybody can accomplish it, but I've designed them in such a way that the kids who want to take it to another level can.
Oh, nice.
And many of them do.
All right, so everybody can be find some success.
Exactly.
Okay,
and
all right.
And some will just go way beyond your expectations.
Oh, is that wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's once a year, right? And it'll be it's citywide, so there's different every grade is represented.
Every grade is represented. And
okay.
As a matter of fact, at the high school level, each of the high schools chooses a senior artist who gets a full display board, two big panels, where they get to put a sampling of their work.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And people are just knocked out at the talent that these kids have. And sometimes it's hard for the high school teachers to choose just one featured artist.
I can imagine that would be very difficult
at
times.
You know? And then if you come to our show, which is wonderful, it has a...
Is it free?
It's always free.
Always free. Okay. Yeah.
Always free. Come to the opening. That's kind of crowded. It's festive and fun, and you'll see the demonstrations. But come back another time when it's quiet over there so you can walk around and really look at things.
Okay. Do they keep it up for a week?
It's up for a month.
A month.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
what
it goes
month
up
is it usually?
May. Usually. Because it usually comes down Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, okay.
So it's usually that first, you know, during May is the time.
Okay.
The senior artists at the opening also have an opportunity to speak about their art. And that's another thing that we really want kids to do. You know, just because we're in an art room, we also are required to do reading and writing.
Right.
And so, obviously you could do a report about an artist, but another very interesting thing to do is to get the kids to write about what thought processes went into making that piece. Or it could be a reflection on it. Okay, I like how I did this, but next time I want to do that, you know? So if you come to the opening night of the art show, you can hear these senior artists talking about their work. And I have just listened in awe at what informs the work of these kids, you know? I mean, I call them kids, but, you know, they're
your kids.
Every teacher says
they're my kids. Right,
you know,
right.
They have serious concerns, and they have amazing insights on the world that we have provided for them.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I think a lot of parents are nervous and concerned about the future because so much of, like, writing skills are kind of going out the window because we're going to start putting computers in front of everybody and they can start just doing, you know, their actual typing on the keyboard of their story, and spell check is there. You don't have to worry about that. And so we're worried about really the penmanship, how that's going to, where that's going in the future. But it's the same thing with communication skills. So when a senior artist gets an opportunity to stand in front of a group of people, an audience, you know, some of them their peers, some of them not, and to convey that process and what it's done to them, how it's transformed them, or how the world has affected them. I think that's an important skill, is that whole idea of being able to communicate. So we're going to come back, and I want to talk about, we got to take a little station ID break. This is WHFR Dearborn, and it's 89.3 on their FM dial. I'm Margaret King Ahmed, your host of Parent Connection. You can hear this show every fourth Monday of every month from 6 to 7, and this is a pre-recorded program, and we are going to come right back, and we're talking with Annette Frank, and she's going to tell us a little bit about the Empty Bowls fundraiser when we come back. Thank you.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life, but it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch, go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fastballing philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, welcome back. This is WHFR Dearborn, 89.3 on the FM dial. I'm Margaret King Ahmed, your host of Parent Connection. I want to thank you very much for joining us this evening. And I do want to let you know this is a pre-recorded program, and the opinions expressed here on this show are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College, its staff, personnel, or students. And welcome back. And we're in the studios with Annette Frank. She is an artist and an art teacher in the Dearborn District, and we were talking just a little bit about some of the programs that we have in the Dearborn District to support the arts and to support our students doing art, and we wanted to encourage our parents at home to do more in the field with art and creating and getting kids to really use imagination and use different mediums to explore their imagination. So, Annette, let's talk a little bit about the Empty Bowls fundraiser, and then let's come back and talk again about where parents could maybe pick up some supplies that are, you know, very eco-friendly or safe and inexpensive, maybe. I can't say more than that, but yeah. Anyway, okay. So tell us a little bit about the Empty Bowls.
Empty Bowls is what we call a service learning project, which means that the kids are doing some service for the community and learning at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Empty Bowls has been around for over 20 years now, and the concept started because they wanted people to become aware of hunger in this country.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So that empty bowl represents the food that someone does not have.
Okay.
So this fundraising event was designed so that the kids, or kids, adults, whoever, make a bowl and then donate it. So we have all of these wonderful handmade bowls. We also get somebody to donate some soup. And then we get someone to donate some bread. And then we've had people who donate the location. So for many years now, we've done it at Park Place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have had bread donated by Bonaventure.
Avalon? Yes.
Bonaventure, and they sell at Eastern Market.
Okay.
Starbucks has given us coffee.
Wow.
Wonderful things like that. And so you come to this event over at Park Place. We already did one in the fall. And for $5, you come in, you have a bowl of soup. Now, you don't have to put it in one of those handmade bowls. They put in a nice clean bowl for you.
Yeah.
But you take one of the handmade bowls home as a remembrance to remind you that not everybody has a bowl of soup to eat every day.
Right.
All of the money raised at the event goes to some sort of an organization that supports hunger efforts.
That's right.
So the last few years we have sent money to Gleaners mm-hmm. of Detroit
mm-hmm.
and also to Heifer International.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yes, I do know of it.
Yeah,
you can buy a chicken or a pig or a cow and it can feed a whole village,
That's right.
You know,
that's
goats
right.
and whatnot. It is a marvelous program.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's new this year, and this is going to be coming up pretty soon, we've always done this at Park Place, which, as you know, is at the west end of Dearborn.
Right.
And that's a hard trip sometimes for people at the east end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an east end teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we're getting support from the Arab American National Museum to do a second Empty Bowls event. And my kids have already made bowls for it. They're so excited.
I actually was in your room when you were making those bowls because they weren't going to be done in time for the first empty bowls. And they're going to be hands.
Yes.
Two hands put together and making a bowl.
Cupped hands.
Cupped hands. Thank you.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
I bet you they turned out. And you said actually one of them had like henna design or art.
That's a great story. So I had this idea of making, we traced hands and then took two hands and then sort of cupped them to make a beautiful little bowl.
Right.
And then so a couple of eighth grade boys stayed with me after school to finish them up and were cleaning up. And the one boy said, well, so what color are we going to glaze them? Glaze is the clear glass coating that you put on top. I said, I don't think I want to put color on them. I just want to leave them this. They were sort of that terracotta, which is like the color of a pot that you put plants in.
Right.
And I said, I just want to leave them natural. He said, well, wouldn't it be cool if we put like henna designs on them? And I looked at him and I said, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I was so excited. Yeah. So then we did this technique, which is called slip glazing. So you have this little thin stream of black and they drew designs all over them. And then we fired that. And then we're going to put clear glaze on top of that. They look beautiful.
I told you I wanted one of those bowls, so I guess I'll have to go to the next empty bowls fundraiser. And so the museum is going to actually host it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and that's going to happen in...
it's supposed to happen early in March.
Okay.
I'm not on that specific committee, but they're contacting people to donate soup. And I don't know, do you think there's a bakery on the east end of town that might be?
Oh, I think so. We've got quite a few wonderful bakeries.
Yes.
Oh, what a wonderful opportunity for everyone involved, actually.
Right.
So the whole community kind of comes together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that. And so that is new this year.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let's get to some of the ideas that you had about making sure that we have enough supplies at home for kids. Parents know where to go and what kind of things we should have at home readily available to our kids. What it'll vary from the different ages, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You obviously need to think about the safety of the item. And you mentioned earlier Crayola, making sure that the products that you buy have that little safety tag on them. If you buy something from Crayola, you wouldn't have to worry about that, example.
Yeah.
Now, quite honestly, in art supplies, a lot of times you get what you pay for.
Right.
Some crayons are more wax than color.
Okay.
And that's frustrating for the kids, I think.
Right.
So if you're going to get art supplies, get something decent.
Okay.
Okay? So you got the markers, you got the pens. Now, you could also do paint with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I say do it with them.
Oh,
sit down and paint together.
Beautiful.
Would be lovely. And there are simple paints that wash out, a little tray of watercolor paints. Kids love those.
Okay.
You can get tempera paint, also known as poster paint.
Okay.
Again, nice big brushes, let them paint. How about chalk to draw on the sidewalk? Let them paint on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Anything
that's washable.
Anything that's washable.
Okay, so even if it gets on the clothes, it could be, or kids could put on aprons and things like that. So that might be another tool in the toolbox for having art supplies around, is having the gear to cover yourself up just in case you're working with paints that might, you could splatter or whatever.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And have a safe spot in the house. Like you say, you don't want them doing it in the dining room where you have to worry about that. Is there a spot in the basement? And, or put down just get a little cheap tarp and put it down underneath whatever they're doing.
Right.
And at some point, these kids are going to need to be doing projects for schools. So many times the kids come to me and say, I don't have scissors at home. I don't have paper at home. Those things are not that expensive. Every kid should have some scissors. Get some hole punchers. Give them some string, leftover yarn scraps. Now, scraps. Now, that got me into...
That's a whole nother avenue to talk about.
Right.
Go ahead.
There are two organizations in the Detroit metropolitan area that gather materials from businesses or people donate stuff. One is called the Scrap Box, and that one is in Ann Arbor. And then another one is called Arts and Scraps.
Oh, where's that one?
That one's on the east side of Detroit, okay. On Harper. So if you go to either one of these places, and teachers go there, but parents and families can go there, you can go in, and what you might see is a bin full of yellow tops, because when they were manufacturing some product, they ended up with too many of those.
Okay.
Or some company that makes gaskets, and they cut it out of some material, and then they throw away the excess.
Right.
Well, instead of throwing it away, these places gather it so that teachers and families can go in and get these things.
And create.
Yes. So a lot of it is sticky and it's fun. And
Velcro even, I bet. Yeah.
Yes. Everything.
Yeah.
Old wallpaper books. Those are wonderful.
That's
for
a lot
patterns.
Of fun.
Yep. All those kinds of things.
Okay.
So families can go in, and here's how it works. You go in and they give you
a big bag.
Yeah.
Like a grocery bag.
Grocery bag.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the current price is, but, you know, like for a minimal amount, you can fill a whole bag with good stuff.
Right, right.
You know, and it's exciting. Talk about a great little gift for a kid. Go there with your kids. Let each of them get a bag full of their choice of stuff.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Oh, and they probably have things that are glittery or shine reflect or something.
Yeah.
And, all those things that would really attract their attention
it's
and whatnot.
Fun. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
They even do workshops, and I think they even do, like, parties. If you said, I want to do a birthday party here. We're going to come, and we're all going to make something.
Isn't that marvelous?
Yeah. You know, you make arrangements and you go there and, you know, for whatever the fee is.
Minimal fee. Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine it's less money than some other kinds of elaborate parties that people cook up for their kids.
Right, and it might be fun to do that instead of Chuck E. Cheese again or something.
You bet.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or take them to the movies or take them to, what is it? No, I can't remember
one of those
some of those other
boxes. Things. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so what else you got there?
So earlier on you mentioned the fact that a lot of kids are spending too much time online.
Yes.
All right, this is where parents really need to step in and either divert them from that activity, put them outside, give them some actual art supplies or things to play with. Or how about looking into some websites where they can do some interesting kind of problem-solving thinking and learning about the arts?
Ah.
And if you as a parent aren't sure what kind of things you could do as an art project with the kids, lots and lots and lots of ideas. So a couple of places that you could go. The National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. has a terrific website with all kinds of art-themed games and activities for kids.
Oh, wow.
So it's the National Gallery of Art, and their website is nga.gov.
Okay, say it one more time.
nga.gov.
Okay.
And if you go there, and then you just ask for the kids section. So it's nga.gov/kids.
Okay.
Okay.
Beautiful.
That's a wonderful spot. One of my favorite places is called the Incredible Art Department. Now, it has the most complicated website address, and I'm not going to say that. If you just Google search Incredible Art Department, will take you right to the location.
Okay, Incredible Art Department. That's all together. There's no spacing in between. Okay.
Yeah. Incredible Art Department.
All right.
And then you can go through and you can find preschool activities, or you can find things, it can be sorted according to medium. So you could find clay or paint or rubber stamps. Rubber stamps, those are so much fun.
Oh, wow.
You give a kid some rubber stamps and a little stamper, and they've got something to do
time.
For hours. They love it. Yeah.
That is wonderful. You could even have cardboard, you know, if you're going to recycle cardboard or newspaper or any of that kind of stuff, and they could play on that or stamp all over that.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. And you know what? When you were talking about giving kids scissors and things like that, one of the things that came to my mind was fear. I think parents have fear around kids having scissors. And so it's like, okay, so the only way to get over that fear is to really teach children how to handle scissors
right.
before you just go giving them scissors. And obviously for the younger kids, you know how they have the blunted edge scissors
right.
or the plastic ones? They can do a little bit of cutting. It's,
right.
in the, it's sometimes it's a lot more difficult to use those scissors. But if you give them the right kinds of paper that it can cut through and
right.
whatnot, it'll be all
right,
right?
And again, this is where, you know, when the kids are small, well, this is a great time to work together. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can help with the cutting. There's also a different kind of scissor. It's called a squizzer.
Oh, so you won't put your fingers
in
you
the don't
holes.
Have to, yeah, that's
yeah,
always the problem.
Operate,
is, yeah, putting your fingers in the holes, and now I have to go like this.
Yeah,
it's a
open
simple
close.
Closing motion. They were developed for kids with, you know, physical disabilities.
Physical challenges, yeah.
it occurred to a lot of us early on, these are great for little kids,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, yeah.
So those are kind of fun.
Oh, great.
You know, and, you know, simple hole punchers, and there's all kinds with funny, you know, butterflies and
oh,
things
like
right.
that. Oh, that's right. You can make so many different
yeah.
designs, too.
Yeah.
So what do you feel about stickers? Would you give kids stickers, too, to play with? I mean, the scrapbooking, I mean, that is a form of art.
Right,
you
right.
know?
The only thing, you know, the stickers can be fun, but, you know, everything has its place.
Like, right.
One of the problems with things that are pre-made with a kid design on it, like
okay.
a sticker or a coloring book.
Okay.
What this is saying to the kid is, this is what art should look like.
I was concerned about that. I was going to ask
yeah.
you about coloring books. Is
right.
that something we want to encourage? Or even the, you know, the numbers, the dot to dot or number, you know what I'm talking
right.
about?
Right, color by number.
Numbers? Yeah,
yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Coloring books, most art teachers will tell you really avoid them. You know?
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, they are an adult's idea of what kids want to do. And then the kids look at that. Oh, I could never draw a duck
like that.
Oh,
got it. Got it. So, and I do know that that has been a very big focus for the Dearborn District, is to get kids to move from that stick figures into a more developed figure of a person, you know, a more rounded body, using your circles or using your different shapes to really create an image other than stick. And I do know that, you know, there's a time and place for everything, and I think that the stick figures do have a place in the art world. They do. I mean, I've seen it on commercials. I've seen it where, you know, they make it glorify it a little more, but
right.
yeah.
Right. When I get the kids into, excuse me, when I get the kids into middle school, I always tell them there are certain things that we're leaving behind, like corner suns and blue clouds and things like that. I teach them how to do what I call advanced stick figures. So they can start with something comfortable.
Yeah.
Here's your stick figure.
Mm-hmm.
One of the art teachers even developed this. She calls it Volume Man, starting with a stick
figure.
Volume
Man, beautiful. Yeah.
But instead of one line for the leg, well, now I've got two lines. And now I've got two lines for the torso. Fill it out.
Right.
When I show this to kids, they act like it's magic.
You know? Who would have ever thought?
Right.
Yeah, you have a Volume Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many times have you heard adults say, all I can draw is stick figures?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you can draw a cool stick figure, you can do a lot with it. Like you say, there's some very wonderful animation. Just simple stick figures.
And now that you brought that up, I do want to talk a little bit about that, because you do run an animation series in the summertime that teachers can actually take and learn all about the animation process.
Right.
Can you talk? It's in Howell, Michigan, right?
That's where we do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that. I actually attended, and
yes,
oh
yes,
my gosh,
did.
I learned so much. I can't tell you how thankful I am to you for creating that. And it's, you actually can get credit for it.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, through the Central Michigan,
right?
University. But go ahead, go ahead and talk a little bit about that.
So for many years, animation has always been my particular interest and my specialty.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in college, I was required to take this class in animation. Okay, so I'm going to take this class. Well, it turned out it was so much fun, and I thought, this is what I want to do with kids. So I've been teaching animation since 1980 in a variety of venues.
And do you start with those little books, though, as part of the animation, where those
flip books?
Yes.
Flip books are wonderful.
Do
That's
a picture.
Great way to get the idea of animation across to kids.
Right. So just say a little bit what a flip book is, what that looks like.
It's a little handheld book, real small. Typically, they're I make them at school out of 3x5 cards.
Okay.
You know,
and
that's
you can staple them
size.
Together
staple
one end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the kids draw a sequence of drawings. You can make a ball bouncing. You can make a roller coaster coming down. It's one of the activities I do with all of my 7th grade 2D art classes. We make a flip book.
Nice.
Well, now, if you make a flip book, what you can then do with a computer and a camera is film each card individually.
Yeah.
And play it back in a loop, and now you've made a cartoon.
Oh, yes.
Now,
yes.
Talk about magic.
Check it. That is
when
magic.
They see that happen,
yes, yes.
They are so excited. So we make flip books. And I have an animation set up in my room. The kids go in,
wow.
Do the animation themselves.
Okay.
Then we can go back and they can extend and clean things up.
Right. Edit.
And then the fun part, they get to add sounds.
Oh, my gosh. Of course. Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
so
or music
could,
or something. Yeah, yes, yes.
You could,
background.
You could actually, you know, use a sound effect CD or something like that. But what I really like to do is have the kids also be creative with the sounds.
Yes.
So you want to make it sound like a bird is cracking out of an egg? Well, you take a styrofoam cup and you crush it next to the microphone, and it sounds just, you know, so let them think
one
of
the
those
little
things.
Secrets. Behind the scenes secret.
And so
yes.
They love figuring out those kinds of things. And then that adds that level of creativity to it.
Ah, excellent.
So especially now with computers and cameras that tie directly into the computers, simple downloadable programs that people can use, it's much easier than it ever used to be. And so we do this summer workshop so that teachers can learn how to do it and mm-hmm. incorporate the technology into their classroom.
Oh, nice.
It's wonderful. And one of the exciting things also, I try and do this, and most all of the art teachers in the district do, we integrate into the content areas.
Mm-hmm.
So if we know that sixth graders are studying Central and South America, well, we might bring in some art from Panama and do an assignment based on that.
Right.
Okay. So with animation, I have, instead of having kids come up with stories, because that gets more involved.
Oh, that really gets bogged down.
And it's hard for them to come up with original things because of all the stuff that they've seen. I always tie it into something that they've done and that they're studying.
Okay.
So, for example, a couple of years ago, eighth graders in Dearborn study U.S. history.
Mm.
So my two classes of eighth graders, which is a total of about 60 kids,
mm-hmm.
did the timeline of American presidents. They went from Washington to Obama.
Wow.
And they had to do cutouts.
Yep.
And they got to tell one fact about that person, but they also got to do something funny.
Okay.
So like Grover Cleveland got stuck in a bathtub, and Bill Clinton liked to eat French fries, but apparently he doesn't anymore, you know? And then, so then they created all the artwork, did all the animation, and then did the voices for it.
Whoa. And then in my mind, because I'm also an educator, in my mind, I'm saying to myself, that now these kids have experienced something that was not just an experience, but they debriefed from the experience, and they it's an adventure for them. So now the learning has really taken place.
Yes.
It's all on hands, hands-on kinds of activities. It's cooperation. It's teamwork. It's learning how to work in the real world. And how beautiful that is.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're absolutely right. It's all of those things. And the learning is much more intense because of that. Some years ago I had done, all my fifth graders did, the classification of living things, that's what they were doing in their science program.
Right.
And that was easily a dozen years ago. Well, I had one of the students who is now out of college and he came back and he said, "Do you remember when we did that? Called Classify This."
Yeah.
I said, "How could I forget it?" But yeah, they remember it too.
Yeah, and see, that's what I like. I mean, that to me tells me that a teacher has had an impact on a student. you know, helped him carve his path or find his way or get on the journey that he needs to be on or she needs to be on. And so, I first of all, I just want to thank you for what you do, because it is just so beautiful. And to me, it just brightens my spirit a lot. We've got like 5 minutes, and I wanted to just talk a little bit about DAFT, if you could. And then maybe we'll cite those places again one more time where people can get information or go to websites or whatnot. So go ahead.
All right. So we were talking about the animation workshop. And that is sponsored by a nonprofit organization that I've worked with for 30 years called DAFT.
Okay.
And you're hearing that right. We are DAFT. But it stands for Digital Arts, Film, and Television. And we support teachers and students who want to do film and video. We sponsor the Michigan Student Film and Video Festival, a free event at the Detroit Institute of Arts. It's the longest-running children's film festival in the country.
Wow.
This is our 44th year.
Kudos to you. How wonderful. And all the people that have worked behind the scenes on that. And yes.
So we get entries from all across the state.
Okay.
They're judged. Not only that, the kids get feedback from adults.
Oh, wonderful.
Every kid who enters. A lot of times you enter a contest and you either know I won or I lost, but I don't know why.
Right. So these are people that are in the field then that give them some kind of constructive criticism.
Exactly.
And help them redirect them.
So if you want to find out about DAFT, Digital Arts, Film, and Television, our website, and this is going to sound strange too, is RUDAFT. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's our email. Our website is daftonline.org.
Okay.
Daft, D-A-F-T, online.org.
Okay.
All squished together.
Okay.
And we do the Student Film and Video Festival. It's the last Saturday in April.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that exact date is this year, but it's at the DIA.
Okay.
Wonderful event, free, open to the public. Come and see the amazing things that kids from elementary school through high school are doing with film and video.
And you know what's really cool is that this is a family outing. You can do this, and it's free. I mean, I know gas is expensive, but you know what? If you can get in free, it all balances out, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So give the other couple websites there.
Okay. Crayola,
we
mentioned their wonderful products. They have a wonderful website with lots of ideas. All you have to do is go to crayola.com.
Okay.
Crayola, just like the name on the product.
Yes.
I also mentioned the National Gallery of Art website, nga.gov/kids.
Okay.
Lots of fun games and things there.
Okay.
You can also visit the Incredible Art Department. Google that.
Okay.
And then the two wonderful places where you can get scraps and take them home and make whatever you want.
Okay.
The Scrap Box, which is Ann Arbor, and that is simply scrapbox.org, all squished together.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is artsandscraps.org in Detroit.
Annette, I can't thank you enough for being here. And it was last minute notice, so thank you so much on a last minute notice to just come in here and share this information with our listeners. And you're listening to WHFR Dearborn, and this is a pre-recorded program. I'm Margaret King Ahmed, your host of Parent Connection, and this program was all about making sure that you bring art into the home and really encourage your kids to be experimental and envision and what's some of the other words I want to say? Just imagine, open up the brain and really imagine and do it through the arts. And thank you again for listening. And I got one more minute, so I'll just tell you this. I'll just tell you this one more time. This is the opinions expressed here on this show are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College, staff, personnel, or students. And this is WHFR Dearborn 89.3 on your FM dial. Please tune in every fourth Monday of the month, 6 to 7, to Parent Connection, and we'll see what we can do to help you make that connection with your children, make it a happy one and a peaceful one. Take care.
Parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why. If they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh. And know they love you.
The WHFR Monday Forum. An hour of a wide variety of one or more talk show programs from 6 to 7 p.m., some of which are locally produced.
Today turns into yesterday, leaving only words we say for this time.
New ideas and information, different each week, not available on other Detroit stations. That's why we're the station making waves. WHFR.fm. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to whfr@hfcc.edu.
The good times, the hard times, this time is our time.
The WHFR Monday Forum, 6 to 7 p.m. And also listen to all locally produced talk shows on WHFR Tuesday Forum from 1 to 2 p.m.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
The Trade and Apprentice Education Division of the Henry Ford Community College is excited to present a new 10-credit hour renewable energy certificate program. The content of the courses will be structured to inform the students of both present and future renewable energy concepts. This certificate program should interest students who are looking